All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you. No rest for the weary, from doing outstanding work in the NBA Finals to doing outstanding work in the lead-up to and then now actual free agency. Joe Varden has been crushing it for The Athletic, senior NBA reporter there on Twitter at Joe Varden, graciously joining us for the third or fourth time in as many weeks. Mr. Varden, good morning. Thanks for making time in a busy time.
Coming live from the driving range where my son has high school golf practice.
I'm live from Vegas, where all the cousins are like gathered in a room somewhere nearby watching on television. What for you, and for people that don't know, you've covered LeBron James for a long time. What for you is the proper way to interpret both his decision to opt into his player option and the statement that his agent, Rich Paul, the CEO of Clutch Sports, put out through various media outlets suggesting that LeBron would still like to be able to compete for a championship?
Well, you know, I mean, your show comes on when it comes on. So, unfortunately, you are not my first appearance today. And earlier, I came up with something clever. I asked the hosts to guess where this came from, and of course they didn't, because I read a dispatch of something I wrote in the summer of 2015, and the statement was almost identical to what it was yesterday. Like, I know everybody is like kind of taken aback by it, and oh my God, you know, LeBron is trying to put pressure on the Lakers still. And I mean, this is what he says, whether he opts out, which is what he's done in every contract situation up until this one, or now, where he really had no choice but to take that option for financial reasons. But he still, this is what he says. You know, he wants his teams to remain competitive. You know, this statement was laced with a little more, I don't know if you would say it was passive aggressiveness or what you would say. Like, he's acknowledging that the Lakers have pivoted from him, but this idea that they are taking a step back to prepare for the future is ludicrous. And he knows that. I don't think that's what they really mean, honestly. You know, I'm looking right now. I mean, we're reporting, you know, that the Lakers are going to go after Brook Lopez or Clint Capella, whoever they get. Someone who is 7 feet tall and can stand there in the middle with his hands raised is going to make this team a little bit better than it already was. And it's a pretty good team. And I think you and I have talked about this over the last month. But Luka, of course, is the best teammate that LeBron has ever had. But beyond that, he plays better in his second go-around with a co-star. Look at what happened with Kyrie when Kyrie was traded there to Dallas, whenever it was. They kind of stunk from the trade deadline through the end of the regular season. They didn't make the playoffs. Luka and Kyrie were really awkward. Luka is shy, and he takes a while to get comfortable playing alongside another superstar, let alone the star with the magnitude of James. So I think that tandem is going to be really good. And if they keep Austin Reeves, that's another good player. Like, that roster is okay. You know, they got pushed around in a playoffs by a team that had a couple of bigs. So, you know, this is all a long way to say, like, LeBron had to pick up his option for financial reasons, and he always says this. So I am certainly not looking at it as though he's on his way out.
Joe Varden, that is an outstanding point about Luka Doncic and the, you know, the learning curve of playing with a superstar and maybe what to expect. You've answered it, but I just want to double down here. So for you, yeah, the notion, I just got odds, as we all tend to, from some, yep, off book, you know, if LeBron, bated breath, if LeBron is traded, here's where he will go. You think it's a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing, this idea LeBron will not be a Laker next season.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you about 26, 27. Is he going to play? I don't know. I was thinking that retirement was coming after this year, and then they traded for Luka, which for me opened up LeBron's championship window a little more. This season, look, the Lakers, like, they're not, like, I just don't see a reason. I don't see a scenario where they try to buy him out. That wouldn't make them better. I don't see other teams that are close to winning an NBA title trading $52 million in assets to get him. And I'll give you an example. Where I live right now, I'm at this driving range / golf course. It's like 17 miles west of Cleveland. So here, you know, they had the best record in the East. They had the best record in the NBA for most of the regular season. It wasn't until almost the end that the Thunder caught them. The East has Tyrese Halliburton done for the year, Jason Tatum done for the year, Dame Lillard done for the year. You know, don't know what the Knicks are going to do with their coach, and so on and so forth. So the Cavs are a team that they feel like their championship window is still wide open. If they wanted to trade for LeBron, the Cavs is a second apron team. They're very limited in what they could do. So they would have to literally come up with exactly $52 million in salary to get him. So that's Jared Allen at 20. That's Darius Garland at something. And then that's, you know, is it DeAndre Hunter? Is it Max Strus? Let's say it's both, just for the sake of discussion here. Okay. So now you have traded your starting center, your starting point guard, your starting small forward where LeBron theoretically would plug in, or he could go bigger and you could play Mobley at center. But then you have a gaping hole at the three because you just traded both of them in Strus and Hunter. So is a team with Donovan Mitchell, LeBron at age 41 by this playoffs, and Evan Mobley, and then whatever else they have and whatever else they can fill in at the minimum because they're over the apron, is that better than what they have now? I don't think so. So I you know, listen, could the Warriors do this? I mean, I would have to – I mean, I don't know off the top of my head like what they could trade.
It's hard to do. Yeah.
It's really hard to do. And so, like, that's the point. Who is going to trade for him, be able to rip up their team to do it, and be better than they already are?
Joe Varden, let me ask you, Joe Varden from The Athletic here on the program. I'm Bill Ryder. This is the Infinity Sports Network, and the show, for better or worse, is called Ryder Than You. Joe Varden, let me ask you to speculate a little bit with your knowledge about LeBron, having covered him in Cleveland, covered him nationally. I know you don't necessarily know the answer to this, but you were talking about the fact that maybe LeBron will play beyond this year, and he certainly is still at a very high level despite his age, and he'll be, what, I think 41 in December. Do you foresee a world after this year? He's got his $52.6 million now. Do you foresee a world where he would take a discount, would take less money at a year from now to play in Cleveland or to stay in LA or to go wherever else at some point to try and win a championship?
Because
he could.
That would take a change of his stance. His stance is basically, look, $77 billion, that's the value of the NBA's new media contract. Yeah, like, they reached that value largely on the years where I was the face of the league. I did this. I am not giving money back now. That's basically what he said, minus the $77 billion part. So if he wants to do that, like, it would take a change in attitude. You know, the market, of course, just like in life, you know, the market kind of tells you if you can get away with that, or like, if you can, if you have to do that and you still want to play, that's what it would take. At least in Cleveland, you know, barring some massive trade to clear cap space for him, you're talking about like an 80% pay cut. To go play for an owner that he doesn't like, and Dan Gilbert personally, is he going to do that? I don't think so. So, you know, I have learned, luckily, I've pretty much been right with LeBron, at least up through this point. But I've learned my lesson in other ways and with other players to say this will not happen. And then it does. So I guess I'll caution that a little bit, but you know, I think that will factor into the retirement thing too, is what, you know, what does he think his earning potential is next season? Does he want to play for that much less if he can't get a max deal somewhere? If the Lakers are really good, which I think they're going to be at least pretty good, And LeBron is still 25-8-8.
Right.
Why wouldn't they give him a 1-year deal for $50 million? Why not?
Joe Varden here on the show. Joe, you brought up the East and the uncertainty there outside of Cleveland. We know that Bobby Portis is going to stick around. I have no idea what's going to happen with Giannis, but I think the betting money is he'll be in Milwaukee. What is your optimism or pessimism level for the Bucks next year in the Eastern Conference?
I don't like them. I mean, and I'm sorry. I mean, I like a lot of their people in the personally, but I just I have not thought that, and obviously the evidence would support this. The roster decisions they have made since winning it all have not panned out. And, you know, like, yes, Giannis is probably going to be there. Let's say for this discussion, he is there. But I don't think that they have anywhere near the depth or the versatility that you have in a Cleveland, in a New York. I think we are being a little silly to just decide that the Pacers aren't going to be good next year. Andrew Nembhard and Aaron Nesmith and Pascal Siakam are real players, real players. So they're not going to win the East, but I bet they're going to be a lot more competitive than we're letting on. So, you know, I think this is a selling point for the Bucks to say, listen, Giannis, like, we can make the playoffs this year. You know, let's roll the dice and see if we can get out of the first round, and you can remain relevant and you can break records here, and then we'll see what happens 2 years from now. But I just, you know, I've got other teams ahead of them for sure.
Joe, we're on the same page. And look, I understand that Giannis is a generational talent, but this CBA is new, right? It's just different in terms of some of the restrictions. I'm curious, people you talk to or your own sort of informed perspective here, do you think the Milwaukee Bucks, as with sort of how they're hamstrung, can win or compete for a title in a 3-year window with Giannis? Or do you think there's a world where trading someone at that talent level, if you get the right return, as counterintuitive as it might feel, would be a better path forward for that organization?
You know, we talked about this when we were talking about how good the Thunder are, and then also how they're, like, set up to be good for a very long time. And I want to caution listeners, like, I'm not reporting that this is happening or is on the table, but the Thunder could go to the Bucks tomorrow and say, here is Jalen Williams and 4 first-round picks. Or here is Chet Williams and other roster, you know, salary filler, and 6 first-round picks. They could say whatever they want, and they could get Giannis. Like, they could do that. That's how deep their war chest is. They have 13 first-round picks over the next 7 years, which is insane. So if somebody comes to Milwaukee and says, here is a young multi-future all-star and like a billion first round picks, like, they're gonna have to do that. The question is, who outside of the Thunder can make that offer, and do the Thunder want to get away from, you know, sort of the blueprint that they and the Pacers have laid out, which is, let's pay 1 or 2 guys, get a bunch of really young good guys who can run, and we're gonna win that way until everybody becomes too expensive. That's up to them. But if that offer comes to Milwaukee, then they have to do it, because, you know, like, barring a move that we don't see to add a player next to Giannis, how are they better than the Thunder? How are they better than the Rockets? How are they better than Cleveland? I just don't see that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they're better than the Pistons for the next, or even Orlando the next 2 or 3 years. Joe Varden,
yeah.
Right? I mean, there are some teams on
like
the rise,
teams.
Too. I do, too. I like them a lot. Mr. Varden, great stuff as always, pal. Enjoy your golf range, your 17 miles west of Cleveland. Those are nice moments being around your kids. And good luck in free agency. You do a great job at The Athletic. People should follow you on Twitter, Joe Varden. And as always, pal, appreciate you being on the radio show.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it.